This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by FullScript. FullScript is a virtual dispensing platform that helps practitioners, myself included, improve patient care and adherence by dispensing professional-grade supplements from anywhere. It has the industry's most comprehensive catalog of products and features like refill reminders and auto-reorder. I've been using FullScript in my practice for years. I even use FullScript to order supplements for myself and my family. They've got all the brands I use. So I have firsthand knowledge of the impact that they can have on your patients. It's simple to use, providing EHR integrations, customizable dosage instructions, and an evidence-based protocol library. It makes integrative medicine feel integrated. It integrates with your way of working and with your patients' day-to-day lives. So if you're looking to boost patient adherence and eliminate inventory management, you should really try FullScript. If you're a practitioner looking to sign up, go to fullscript.com/Hoffman to start using FullScript for free today. If you're a patient currently ordering supplements from your doctor, let them know about FullScript. Tell them Dr. Hoffman sent you.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I am Layla Mudin, your host. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist here in New York. And I am available for patients. Call the office, 212-779-1744, 212-779-1744. We can Zoom, we can Skype, we could have a telephone consult. We can do all of those at your convenience. I hope you are all staying well and tuning into these podcasts and getting something from them. We have this from the North American Menopause Society, NAMS. That's the acronym NAMS, the North American Menopause Society. That dairy consumption is ineffective in preventing age-related bone loss or fractures. Before I go on, any questions, topics of interest, anything you want to hear me discuss on this program, you can email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. So, dairy consumption ineffective in preventing age-related bone loss or fractures. A new study based on SWAN data, another acronym I'll tell you about in a second. A new study based on SWAN data shows that despite containing essential nutrients, dairy products do not benefit lumbar spine or femoral neck bone density, that's hip bone density, nor do they protect against fracture risk. SWAN is the acronym for Study of Women's Health Across the Nation. So out of Cleveland, Ohio, this came out just a few weeks ago, May 26th, in fact. Dairy products provide more bone beneficial nutrients than any other food group. Yet a new study based on data from the Study of Women's Health Across the Nation, SWAN, that's the acronym is SWAN, shows that during menopause transition, when bone loss is accelerated, they offer little benefit in preventing bone mineral density loss or fractures. The study results are published online in Menopause, that's the journal Menopause, the journal of the North American Menopause Society, NAMS. Okay. So growing up, you know, we were all encouraged to drink milk, right? I was. And that's because dairy products contain more than 12 essential nutrients that help to promote bone mineralization, including, you know, calcium, phosphorus. It's got some high quality protein and it's got a small amount of vitamin D. Unfortunately, as women enter the menopause transition, bone loss accelerates and may lead to osteoporosis. According to SWAN data, the study of women's health across the nation, this bone loss is not slowed down by the consumption of dairy products, nor is fracture risk mitigated. The new study specifically looked at the effect of dairy intake on femoral and spine bone mineral density. It's one of the few studies dedicated to examining how dairy consumption affects a woman's risk of bone loss and fractures across the menopause transition. Because two of the greatest risk factors for osteoporosis, age and sex, are beyond a woman's control, there is an increased focus on possible modifiable risk factors to slow this irreversible age-related progressive degenerative skeletal disease that makes a woman more susceptible to bone fractures. Women are at greatest risk for osteoporosis than men, and the risk increases significantly as women age, right? You know, by the time you're in your 50s, you're being prompted by your doctor or GYN to go get a bone mineral density at that time. Study results appear in the article, quote, "Dairy intake is not associated with improvements in bone mineral density or risk of fractures across the menopause transition. Data from the study of women's health across the nation," end quote. You'll find that in Menopause. This study adds to the existing, albeit inconsistent, data suggesting a lack of benefit from dairy intake on bone mineral density and fracture risk. However, there are many other health benefits of a Mediterranean-type diet rich in fruits, vegetables, whole grains, as well as lean proteins such as fish and low-fat dairy. Okay, I want to stop right there. A Mediterranean-type diet rich in fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, as well as lean protein and low-fat dairy? That's not the Mediterranean diet. They don't do lean protein and low-fat dairy. They do plenty of fruits and vegetables. They have some whole grains, lots of olive oil, all of that good stuff. But they're not on a low-fat diet. See, I call that the American bastardization of the Mediterranean diet right there. They're all trying to compare it now or make it like the My Plate, the government, the food guide pyramid, all of that, and the My Plate guidelines. No, that's not a Mediterranean diet. Anyway, so in addition, coming back to bone health, in addition, regular weight-bearing exercise such as walking or jogging can help maintain bone strength. And activities that improve strength and balance such as yoga and tai chi may help prevent falls, says Dr. Stephanie Fabian, NAMS medical director. So, and what is the North American Menopause Society? It's North America's leading nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the health and quality of life of all women during midlife and beyond through an understanding of menopause and healthy aging. Okay, so you can see that yourself at www.menopause.org. That's menopause.org. And you know, I've seen previous studies that showed that even drinking milk isn't necessarily great for your bones. I wonder, you know, we are probably the highest dairy eating nation, and we have the highest rates of osteoporosis. So it's not about the dairy, and milk also contains a lot of sugar. It's called lactose. So it's not necessarily the best. And that phosphorus in dairy does compete with calcium to a degree. So therefore, the calcium in dairy is not necessarily the best way to get your calcium. Eat broccoli, almonds, eat greens like kale, eat sardines with bones in it, have homemade soups, stews, and broths. You're getting all that calcium that's leaching into the broth from the carcass that you're cooking, the bones and the meat, right? Your leftover chicken that you roasted, you had for Sunday dinner, put that in a pot of water with some celery, carrot, maybe onion. Simmer that for several hours. You've got broth, and the calcium in the bones is leached into the broth. Drink a mug of broth a day in place of your cup of tea or coffee. You're getting good quality collagen, gelatin, the calcium, the other nutrients in there. It's all good, not just for your bones, but for your joints, the cartilage. It's good for skin, healthy skin, nails, and hair as well. Okay. Now, there's a nice article in Natural Practitioner, which I really enjoy reading. And this comes from a Risa Shulman, PhD, who talks about ubiquinol versus regular CoQ10 for individuals over 40. So CoQ10 is one of the most recognized supplements for supporting heart health. Those of you who listen to this podcast, you're probably taking CoQ10 or ubiquinol. But many people don't know that it comes in two forms, which is CoQ10 and ubiquinol, and that they function differently in the body. In the mitochondria, coenzyme Q10 and ubiquinol play a crucial role in the electron transport chain, which is the final step in turning sugar, fats, and proteins into usable energy for the body. Here, their function is to alternately accept and donate electrons. And in doing so, there is a continuous flipping back and forth between coenzyme Q10 and ubiquinol. So what is ubiquinol? Ubiquinol is the reduced form of CoQ10, meaning it has two extra electrons. It is the predominant form of CoQ10 in a healthy body. In a healthy adult, 95% or more of the total CoQ10 in the body is in the ubiquinol form. This form has unique characteristics with respect to bioavailability, antioxidant activity, and transportability and usage in the blood. Okay. So bioavailability, let's talk about that. Ubiquinol has been shown to be better absorbed than your regular CoQ10. In several studies, serum ubiquinol levels increased by an average of 4 times in healthy people taking 150 to 300 milligrams per day. In one such study, healthy subjects were given identical capsules with either CoQ10 or ubiquinol at 200 milligrams per deciliter for 4 weeks. Plasma ubiquinol increased by 3.4 micrograms per ml, while plasma ubiquinone increased by 1.6. In a randomized, double-blind, comparative crossover study, healthy subjects were given a single intake of either 104 milligrams of ubiquinol or 100 milligrams of CoQ10, with 2 weeks between treatments. Plasma concentrations were significantly higher for ubiquinol compared to coenzyme Q10. At 6, 8, 12, 24, 48, and 72 hours post-intake. And the area under the curve for ubiquinol 72 hours post-intake was over 4 times greater. Wow, than for CoQ10. I want to tell you something. I've taken both CoQ10 and ubiquinol. I feel the ubiquinol more with regard to energy. Now, can I tell you that it's not because I know I'm taking ubiquinol and I expect maybe to feel a little more energy and that's kind of suggesting that I do? You know, there's really no way to know, but here's some of your proof via these studies, and that can explain how I've been feeling. Now, let's talk about antioxidant activity. Because of its two extra electrons, ubiquinol behaves as an antioxidant. And in addition, because of its nonpolar body, it is one of the few lipid-soluble antioxidants. This is important in the double lipid membranes of the mitochondria, where the production of energy is continually producing free radical byproducts, and where ubiquinol is constantly being regenerated in the electron transport chain to carry out its antioxidant function. Ubiquinol also plays a key role in preventing the oxidation of LDL cholesterol in the blood, preventing it from cascading into the atherosclerotic process. Think about it. If you're taking a cholesterol-lowering medication, a statin drug, like Zocor, Lipitor, any of those, simvastatin, atorvastatin, you know what I'm talking about. That kills CoQ10 in your body. Not all of it, but a lot of it. So think about that. But the CoQ10 helps that LDL from oxidizing. So ubiquinol is the active form that is transported in the body. If absorbed into the blood as CoQ10, the body first has to convert it into ubiquinol so that it can then be transported. And this happens via an enzymatic reaction mediated by coenzyme Q10 reductase. Two factors can diminish the ability of the body to make this conversion effectively: age and genetic variability. Aging has been shown to reduce both the overall level of serum total CoQ10 and the balance of CoQ10 to ubiquinol, with the decrease starting at age 40. Wow, that's pretty young. In fact, there's a statistically significant correlation between percentage of CoQ10 and age. And this phenomenon was correlated to the level of oxidative stress. So coupled with the increased ratio of CoQ10 to ubiquinol is the fact that the enzymatic conversion of CoQ10 to ubiquinol in the blood becomes less efficient with age. Another barrier to efficient conversion can come through the genes. There's a genetic polymorphism called NQO1. It's called NQO1, which affects the body's ability to produce the enzyme coenzyme Q10 reductase. If one gene is affected, meaning heterozygous, there will be a partially limited production of the enzyme, while if both genes are affected, homozygous, it can be severely affected. The frequency of this polymorphism in the population varies with ethnic group. It is found in the homozygous state at a frequency of 4% in Caucasians, 5% in African Americans, 16% in Mexican Hispanics, and 22% in Chinese populations. Such individuals will have a compromised ability to convert CoQ10 to ubiquinol in the blood. And so supplementing with ubiquinol can circumvent this deficiency. Thank you to Dr. Reza Shulman, and this is a natural practitioner in the May 2020 issue of Natural Practitioner. Now, I know that often if you're taking, say, you're taking 200 milligrams of CoQ10 a day, if you switch to ubiquinol, you could take half. You could take 100 milligrams of ubiquinol versus your 200 milligrams of CoQ10. If you were taking 400 milligrams of CoQ10, you can then take 200 milligrams of ubiquinol. Both are expensive. We know this. But they're critical to heart health. And if there are these polymorphisms and age-related conversion of CoQ10 to ubiquinol, that explains why the ubiquinol is preferred and that it's more bioavailable, right? Interesting stuff. So if you're currently taking CoQ10 and want to switch to ubiquinol, you could do so, certainly. Finish taking that CoQ10. It's still good for you, right? So another reminder to send me your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. And I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine.
Earlier in the episode, I mentioned FullScript. Remember, FullScript is a virtual dispensing platform that helps practitioners, myself included, I'm a user, dispense professional-grade supplements and improve patient adherence from anywhere. For example, when you write a prescription through FullScript, it gets sent directly to patients via text or email. And when they place an order, their supplements get shipped right to their front door. It's incredibly convenient. The most incredible part, though, is it's completely free and available to all kinds of practitioners, giving you complete control over balancing revenue with patient affordability. So if you're looking to boost patient adherence and eliminate inventory management, you should really try FullScript. If you're a practitioner looking to sign up, go to fullscript.com/Hoffman to start using FullScript for free today. If you're a patient currently ordering supplements from your doctor, let them know about FullScript. Tell them Dr. Hoffman sent you.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.